Father, we thank you for the bread of life. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord God, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly before you. And we thank you that you're the merciful God, the beloved. You're the merciful God. No matter what we do, your arms are open, wide open to receive us with grace, with mercy, with forgiveness. And Lord, may we treat one another like that. May we love each other with the love of God, and may we have mercy and patience with one another. And may we have the most important thing is self-control. May we have self-control with our mouth, with our thoughts, with our imaginations, with our words. And may we continue to pray for one another and seek your face and turn from the wicked ways of the world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Be seated in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tonight we're going to continue the message about the Holy Ghost. This is an 8-tape series. We're on tape number 2, tape 40,000. This is number 2, the Holy Ghost, the self-control of the Holy Ghost. Now, yesterday, Sunday, we talked about the name of Jesus, that the Holy Ghost came and revealed to us the name of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about the self-control, being led by the Spirit and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. For the last couple of days, the Lord began to deal with me about being self-willed and having self-control. The word self-control means, it says, see inconsistency, being consistent. It comes from the Greek word acharitis, powerless, negative, strength is rendered without self-control. So we're talking today how the Holy Spirit gives you self-control over sensuality. Now, it's very important. We're going to talk about being married. We're going to talk about the agreement of the husband and wife. It's a very touchy subject. We're going to talk about sensuality between the husband and wife. And God began to reveal to me what he was saying in the scripture about holiness and about perversion. And we look today, for the last 6 months, I was preaching on perversion. And the Lord began to show me why he took me on that subject, because that's a subject about the old nature. And we all are tempted with being sensual, having not the Spirit, walking on our own self-will and selfishness, pride, vainglory, and vanity. We're all tempted with that type of character. But the Holy Spirit expressly talks about in the last days that men would be sensual, having not the faith. And this is what grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved, or it will shut down. It will feel like he's not there if you're sensual. This is why so many Christians are drawn away by perversion and lust, because they have not reverenced the Holy Spirit in their temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God begins to show me in the book of Acts, he begins to show me, he said, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, back then, God began to deal with people about selfishness, about greed. Now, we talk today about 10%, but here in the scripture, God's talking about all. And he's also talking about holding back from God and also doing your own thing. It's very important that you listen to the apostle. I can say before God, I would never tell somebody to do something personally in the flesh if God didn't tell me to tell them. So when I say something, be careful, because God is not playing in this hour. So it's very important for us to be humble and be obedient to the apostle. Now, it says right here, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep that part of the price of the land. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that land he was talking about was her heart. God began to show me that this land he was talking about was not, it didn't make God angry about the money as much as it made God angry about how she gave to God. It's very important for you to understand the value of selfishness. Excuse me. Now, God talks here, and he says, and I never saw this before, and it's so beautiful. I know it's God talking to me, because God told me to go get this this Vine Expository Dictionary. And if you look it up, excuse me, the word self means one of the opposite of selfishness is one accordness. Now listen to that. The opposite of selfishness is being on one accord. Now learned in our ministry, it exploded last couple of months, but then what began to shake it, what began to be the problem, was people wanting to do their own self-will. People wanting to do their own thing. They didn't want to come under subjection. We see that's how churches are split up, and how pastors, they'll come under a pastor, and they'll work with the pastor 10, 15 years, then they'll go start their own church without the pastor. Now see, we're all supposed to be under subjection. But one thing, people want to do things their own way. Some of it happens because of greed for money, greed for power. Thank you very much. And God began to show me what he was saying as I was praying. He said, now listen, also means self in the reflection, myself, thyself, himself, expressing distinction. When you say something to somebody about yourself, and you are expressing yourself, you get real indignant about it. You'll fight about it even. If somebody says something to you and said you weren't who you are, you say, wait a minute, no, that's not how I am. You know? But see, well, we got to find ourselves in the scripture. See, this is how we have erred, my beloved. We have erred because we begin to defend our old self instead of defend the Christ in us. So it's very important that we come back to the sound doctrine. It says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath thou Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remaineth, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? So here God begins to show me about the condition of Ananias and Sapphira's heart where it dealt with money. And money has a lot to do with selfishness. Here it goes. And Ananias, okay, Ananias hearing these words fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Here goes God judging this man about the way he sold his own property. Now, that shows you right there that God is serious when it comes to the things of the church. But people take it lightly. Here, let's look at the next part. And the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. They didn't even have no funeral for the guy. Y'all notice that? Well, no. What's that thing, you know, when you die, folks be coming to, you know, say some good things about you? The wake and all that good stuff? He was just out of there. It was like, carry him out. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is God. This is God. You know, we get real personal about our loved ones when they die. You know what I'm saying? But here's God. Just said, just bury him. That shows you how God deals with people who are selfish. God had no love for them. Say no love. Because when I read the Bible, I take it personal. Watch, here goes the next person. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, I wonder what she was doing with the money. She probably was out shopping. Because she could have saved herself. But she had no awareness that judgment was coming to her house. None. In fact, she took it like a joke. Watch, listen. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. So they were dealing with the price of the land. She had an opportunity to repent. She had an opportunity to tell the truth. Watch what happens. And she said, yea, for so much. Because see, number one, she has conspired with her husband. And her husband was a thief. So she was a thief too. See, whoever you marry to is who you are. Amen. If your husband is perverted, you're going to be perverted too. That's why the God says judgment shall start at the house of God. God has to deal with the head, with the pastors. Amen. Why do you think judgment has happened at the Catholic Church right now? It's going to come in the Pentecostal Church and the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church. It ain't just going to happen in the Catholic Church. God is bringing judgment upon the church. I mean, some woman just got busted in Vegas. She took her little 15-year-old student and ran away with him. And, you know, they got caught in the hotel. Amen. But see, what God was showing me is that God is judging perversion in this hour. I'm telling you, he is. Watch. Listen. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together, listen, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, thy feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Satan, I rebuke you right now. This is the word of God, and judgment is going to begin to start at the household of faith. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were of more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. People that were depressed, people that were oppressed with all kinds of tormenting thoughts. But when the power of the Holy Ghost came upon the scene, the Holy Spirit casted out those demons and literally possessed the people and gave them peace. You see, the Holy Spirit is peace. As I was seeking God today, God began to show me about the law of the Holy Spirit. There's a law that goes into effect when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, God does not just want us to be holy. God wants us to be loving. I know a lot of churches, they got the Holy Ghost, they're holy people, but they don't love you. They won't hug you. They won't kiss you. They won't tell you that they love you. They won't take you home. If you didn't have a car, you'd be walking. They don't go out of their way to love you. But you know, Mormons, they go out of the way. And Catholics, they go out of the way to be nice to you. But Pentecostal folk, they get so religious, they can't help you. You see what I'm saying? And God does not like that. God wants us to be a body. God wants us to be one. It says right here, and we'll go back over that on Sunday, that they used to sell their lands and houses, part them to the apostles' feet, and the apostles used to distribute them to everyone who had a need. Now, you know that's not what's happening this day. But, you know, most Christians say that passed away with. You know what I'm saying? So it's easy to get out of it and do your own thing. You say, oh, okay, that was passed away. Say that was passed away. That's good to say. That's like I'm screaming and hollering, acting like a fool. And, you know, back then they was peaceful. But I could say, hey, that passed away. I can scream and holler anytime I want, Sarah, right? No. Jesus is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And God don't change. Hey, glory to God. You know, I thank God for his mercy, Brother Joshua. I thank God for his word. Amen. Every time you read the word, you get something else out of it. Now watch this. The most important character of your spirit, man, is anchoring your soul. That's what God showed me today. He said, if you anchor your soul with the love of God, you will not get angry. You will not lust. You will not be greedy. You will not have filthy imaginations. You will not have pride. Number one, God showed me the anchor of your soul will produce rest. It will produce peace. It will produce an attitude of worship. It'll produce an attitude of faith. Now, I want to ask you a question. Now, why is the Holy Ghost self-control so important? Number one, the Lord began to show me it casteth out all fear. Very important that the Holy Spirit anchor your soul so you can get rid of fear. Number two, it'll cause you to seek God and turn from your wicked ways. Number three, praying in the Spirit will build up your most holy faith. Glory to God. Another thing it will do, it will cause you to cast your cares over on God. Your cares, the things you worry about, you'll give them to God. You won't worry about them no more. So here goes a guy that has no worry, no fear, no vanity. He rested in the Lord. You see, sometimes when we're worried about something, we want something so bad, it could be sitting right in front of you, but you'll never see it because fear will blind you. Worry will blind you. Torment will blind you. But Jesus said, here goes the Holy Ghost. If you just yield yourself to him, another thing it will do, it will make you content with godliness. Contentment. Here goes the Holy Ghost now taking over you. And now he's saying, now, instead of worrying, I'm going to give you the thoughts of contentment. The things that you never paid attention to before, now you just paying attention to those little things. Oh, I just thank God that I got good health. You know, it was a time my back was hurting. I couldn't get out of the bed. And the Lord said, just lay there and pray, son. I said, okay, God. He said, you need to thank me for good health. You need to thank me for the opportunity to get out of bed and take a shower and brush your teeth. Some folks ain't got no teeth. Can I get a witness? Yes, Lord. Huh? Thank God to be able to brush your hair. Some folks ain't got no hair. Lord Jesus. Thank God for the opportunity to wash your feet. Some folk ain't got no foot. You know? And we stand in the mirror in the morning and thank the Lord for the little things God has already given us, we wouldn't be foaming and fretting and complaining. Because we'd always come into people's presence with an attitude of thankfulness and worship and also gratefulness. Gratefulness. Contentment. Now God began to show me about the wars. No, okay, Lord, I'm going to go back to that. Praise God. Let's go on. Praise God. Okay. Verse 16, Acts chapter 5, verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing in sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed every one of them. Then the high priest rose up, and that were wherewith him, which is the saint of Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night came and opened up the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, go straight and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. If you have sickness in your body right now, lay your hands on your body, your mind, whatever is wrong, and Jesus is going to heal you right now. If you want to call and get counseling, the phone number is 619-296-1206. Or you can call us at our new church at 619-234-0050. Or call the other Resurrection Church at 619-239-9281. God wants to heal us and make us whole. It's up to us to open up and let Jesus in. Here goes religious people. The Bible says that God began to tell them in verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. By the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called to the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison of them that brought. But when the officers came and brought them not into the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man wherein. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto these would go. Then came one of them told, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest, and asking them, saying, Did not we straitly command you, listen, that we should not teach in his name? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about that on Sunday, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Now, there is going to be no power in the name of Jesus. We will get these little trinkle prayers answered. We will never get the demonstration of the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders if we don't sell out to the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the Bible says they were all with one accord in one place. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Bible said they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that didn't happen just because they were there in the temple on one accord. That happened because they got rid of all their differences, all their selfishness, all their pride, all their vainglory, all their vanity, all their wicked imaginations. They got rid of that, and then they began to seek the face of God, and they said, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. So they were on one accord, and they were asking the Holy Ghost to come and to possess them with his power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he would have never came until he saw empty vessels. Say empty vessels. God is looking for tonight, he's looking for empty vessels. He's looking for a vessel that is empty, that's poured out, that's crying out and saying, Lord, fill me with the precious Holy Ghost. I want to see signs and miracles. Now, Holy Ghost wants to do these things in this hour. He wants to provide for you financially. He wants to give you wholeness. He wants to bless you with a nice family. There's going to be times when you're going to go through wars and storms. But God said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to depend on God. You have to learn that you're going to go through storms in this life. You are going to go through temptations. But the Bible said God has made a way of escape. All you have to do is yield to him. There will be a time. See, if you don't have no quiet time with God, you see, the reason why the apostles knew what to do and they knew how to not grieve God, because they had been given the time with God to seek him. Ladies and gentlemen, like Pam was saying, you see, Pam, God is beginning to change Pam's will because she's in God's presence. You see, as you stay in God's presence will produce a new desire, a new will for your life. And it will begin to bring forth his vision, his purpose, his identity, his chosen will for your life. You cannot have that unless you sell out, unless you break yourself. There's a time when you have to even break yourself. There's going to be times when you're doing things you know you have no business doing. God's not going to help you. God says a broken and a contrite spirit, he will not cast out. You're going to have to go before God, and you're going to have to break yourself from these things that displease God, because God is looking for an empty vessel. He's looking for an empty vessel. He's looking for an empty vessel. Verse 34, then stood there up one in the council of the Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to be put the apostles forth a little space. Now here goes a man that has wisdom, because he sees a people getting together but in his mind he's saying, whoa, wait a minute, we may make a mistake. See, ladies and gentlemen, you don't see, because in this hour we don't see much God, be very careful with the decisions you make and what you say, because it may be God what you're talking about. It may not look like God. It may not feel like God, but it could be God. So the Bible says, he began to speak like this, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say to you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for it is this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even fighting against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Here it goes again. They didn't care about them talking about all these other things. Here they go, telling them not to speak in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to call right now, 619-239-9281. We have a special opportunity for 1995. You can receive the tape on the gates, the first tape of the Holy Ghost gate. And this tape, praise God, you can receive it for 1995. And for you'll get two tapes, the second one free. It'll be the tape tonight. You'll receive it free for 1995, and you'll receive a free cup called with JCN on the side. This is our gift back to you for supporting our network. Praise God, we're now going on the radio, and we're going to be on from 7:30 to 8 o'clock every night at 7:30 until we go back on television. And we want your support. We want you to come down to our Jubilee lunch. This is going to be something that we're going to have when we have our grand opening of our new church. And it's really amazing how God has even opened up the California Theater. And we're in negotiation right now. And I just thank God that, praise God, that no one has been able to buy the California Theater. God has kept it for us. So we need your support for you to stand with us. And we believe this is of God. Praise God. And to them they agreed. And they told him again not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they departed, verse 41, from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in his temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we want to go back over that, but I want to talk a little bit about what the Lord began to give me. Now, why did God want them to get on one accord? God wanted to deal with them about his vision. Now, God has a vision, a global vision for this world. God also has a vision for your life to fit into his vision. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it takes desire to receive this vision because we all have our own desire for our own life. So, ladies and gentlemen, God began to deal with me. He said, what comes wars in your members? And God began to deal with me. What the war is sensuality versus your new created spirit. See, when you become born again, God does not take away sensuality out of you. God does not take lust out of you. It's a natural thing for a man to desire a woman. See, that's not lust. The Bible said, the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. What God is showing us, he's saying, what imagination do you have for your wife? What imagination do you have for your husband? So what God began to show me, I was looking through the scripture, and God said, son, he said, I want you to go, and I want you to read these scriptures to the brethren. So I began to go through the scripture, and God began to share with me, go with me right now to Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to go real fast, and I want you to go back. And I want you to go through these scriptures, and I want you to call and order this tape, please. Because I believe this tape will get into your spirit and help you understand what you're going through and how to go to the next level. And how to put down, the Bible says, tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Let's start at verse 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, not given to filthy lucre. I'm in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Gaetans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. These witnesses are true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that churn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure. Listen, but unto them that are defiled and the unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and every good work reprobate. Now the word reprobate is to have no conscience. You're not, when you steal, when you lie, when you cheat somebody, when you do something bad, when you scream and holler at somebody, or you steal time, you don't have no remorse. You see, if I do something like that, I feel guilty. I have to go back and say I'm sorry. Amen. So it's very important for us to keep an attitude of remorse. Amen. So that God can teach us how to be good stewards. Because you will give account for the way you treat people, especially those who are of the household of faith. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou things which become in sound doctrine. But the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and in patience. Now God began to show me we're going to have a ordination for the deacons. We're going to have a celebration in the next couple weeks. We're going to ordain the deacons, and we'll give them a plaque. And we're going to show them in the scripture what it means to be deacon or deaconess, the women too. And it talks in the scripture, here's Paul, telling Timothy and telling Titus what our character should portray. It talks about an apostle. It talks about a bishop. It talks about deacons. It talks about elder women of God. It talks about younger women of God. So let's go back in the scripture and hear what the scripture says about godliness. Now, verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, listen, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptibleness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. So like saying, he's saying when you give it, when somebody commands you to do something, to not backbite, not gossip, not talk back. There's a time where if you feel somebody's screaming at you or somebody's doing you wrong, you should bring it up in the meeting. You should hold back. If somebody is offending you and it's causing you not to carry out your task, which somebody is paying you to do, you should bring it up in the meeting. You know, the Bible says if you have offense towards somebody, bring it out. Because you will not be able to carry out your job duty if you feel offended. You can't even work with other people because inside you're offended. So it's very important to have peace. The Bible says strive to have peace with all men. Without holiness, no man shall see God. So you have to have peace. You can't be holy without peace. You can find two people working in the same office and they have no peace with one another and they're angry and offended and they're bitter and there's no peace. So their strife goes in the whole office. And so God began to show me when people are like little children and they will not deal with being offended, get rid of them. It's very important to let people, you have to bring people into subjection and say, you must grow up. It's like having two little kids and my little two boys, I got 1, 2, and 1, 4. If them little rascals keep fighting when they're 18, what am I going to do? I'm going to pop them upside the head. I'm going to say, get over here. I got to sit them down. You understand what I'm saying? There's a time to mature. There's a time to walk in love. Amen. There's a time to come out of jealousy. You see, two people jealous of one's job is better than the other. One getting paid for more. Well, go to school. Do something. Make something out of yourself. But don't walk in jealousy, because that jealous spirit will literally corrupt the whole body. And we wonder why the Holy Ghost ain't showing up. He's saying, well, get rid of those little foxes. Get rid of them, because I want to move. Amen. Go with me to 2 Peter 2:10. 2 Peter 2:10. Now, our foundation tonight, we are talking about Holy Ghost self-control. We'll start at verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should suffer and live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous men dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed the righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knowing how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, that they not afraid to speak evil of dignities or of authorities, of pastors. Wherein angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speaking evil of things they have not understand, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, and they that count in pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blameless, spouting themselves with their own deceitfulness while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, as heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the wail of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the ways of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbid the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter and the worse with them than the beginning. For it is better if they did not even know the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Here goes God talking about people that have self-wills. Now, he's talking about people in the church. So, here, God is appointing us to departments of authority, departments of accountability. Call right now, 619-239-9281, or call a corporate office between 8 to 5, 619-296-1206. Counselors are standing by. Here goes God talking about being self-pleasing. To please denotes one who denoted by self-interest and inconsiderate of others. Arrogance asserts his own will, self-will. One so far overwhelming any determination at which he has himself once arrived that he will not be removed from it. One who compares and contrasts, loving self, selfish. God began to show me what spirit we are dealing with in this hour. We're dealing with a very selfish spirit. We're being bombarded by the internet. We're being bombarded by television. We're being bombarded by work. We're being bombarded at the store, at the liquor store. And here, God's saying to live holy. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you, the Bible said that you come out from amongst them and be separate. You cannot hang out with people that are full of the devil and don't have a character of commitment. God showed me, he said, you know, personally, myself, everywhere I go around the world, there's a lot of temptation. And God begins to show me my commitment, my purpose, my calling, what he told me to do. It's very important that you know what God told you to do. Or what will happen, your friends will pull you to somewhere else. Or a new acquaintance, somebody that you're trying to impress. You don't really want to talk too much about Jesus to them. especially if you meet a new girl, they may not know too much about Jesus, but you like them, well, you might not want to lose them or their friendship, so you kind of act a little real worldly. Here you go, here the old man's coming out again. And then at the house, after you go back home by yourself, you fucker, why did I do that? And what God is showing you is that's still self down in that heart. And what you did, you compromised. You compromised. You know, it's hard to lose something you love, especially when you want it and you need it so bad. It's hard. But what God is doing, God is saving you. Because he wants to give you something that's not going to hurt you. Because sometimes we want something so bad, but we don't know what's inside of them. I remember this lady told me, she said, Brian, that person, you need to let them go. Do not give them a job. That person is going to try to sue you. And if I would have just listened, I would have never been sued. And so God warned you through people. But so many times, we're not listening. We're not listening because we want something. And a lot of it is we're drawn away by our own lust because of money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, and many people perish after it. So the love of money is going to be another element, another temptation that we must master. If we don't master the love of money, it will eventually destroy us. It will eventually. Because God doesn't give everybody money. Everybody cannot be tempted with money. The first thing God's going to do, he going to tempt you with $100, $500, $10,000. He ain't going to tempt you with $10 million. If you can't be faithful over $100, he not going to give you $10 million. He first going to see, okay, let me see how they going to act with $10,000, $50,000. Now, if you got that money deceitfully, you're trying to justify it in your mind, well, I'm doing this because of this. No, no, no. You're a thief and you're a liar. And what you're going to do, you're going to cause shame on everybody. Oh, plenty of times people have come to me and said, oh, why don't you do this, man? You can make a lot of money. And I thought about it. I said, whoa, I need the money. I want to help the church. But then when I went and prayed about it, the Holy Spirit said, but you know, if 10 years from now, people find out you was involved in that and you're a pastor, you know you can't be involved in that. You're a Christian. And I'm thinking, no, I can't invest in that. I can't be involved in that. See, what you got to do, you got to begin to go and weigh it and say, okay, does this become a person that's a Christian? See, lion is not supposed to be named among us. Deceitfulness, stealing. Another thing that's not supposed to be named among us is disobeying authority. Disobedience. So many times I have problems. I say, man, I gotta use this thing because I need it. And the Lord said, no, you don't. It ain't right. That's why you got the problems. If you would have just waited, you wouldn't have this problem. Go with me to James chapter 3, verse 15. James 3, 15. God began to reveal to me people's nature, people's heart. And so many times we like somebody. We want to hang out with them because we like them. You know, they're nice Christian people. But then you don't really get to know somebody until they borrow money from you. How many people did somebody borrow some money from you that never paid you back? You'd be like, and your friendship is out the door. Over $100. These people could not be friendly enough to pay you back $100. Even if they paid you $5 a week. They didn't make no. In fact, they didn't even call you no more after they got the $100. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And many people perish. And what did the Lord be saying? Friendship perishes over $100. That's why if somebody asks me something, I just give it to them. I don't want to borrow nothing. Because I know if I borrow it to them, I'm going to expect it back, and I ain't going to get it back. Amen? So when you give something, the Bible said, don't expect nothing back. That way you don't get offended. That way you know what I'm saying? Your kids come, Daddy, Let me 20,000. I gotta buy me a house. Huh? You just give it to them. If they just got married, just give them the money if you can. Don't pawn to them. I know families done broke up over money. When I do something for somebody, I don't expect nothing back. Because that way, if they don't give it to me, I'm not offended. Now, I've dealt with millions and millions of dollars. So I've learned how to deal with people with money. You cannot deal with everybody with money. Because everybody cannot be trusted with money. They do not have the character. When you deal with money, you have to have character. Amen? Because character will teach you how to have self-control. Because in the back of your mind, you say, well, hey, I'd like to have this new suit, but I got to pay the payroll. Amen? Talk to me. Watch. I'd like to buy these new shoes, but I got to pay my tithes. Jesus. I like to buy these new sunglasses, but I got to pay my tithes and offerings. You know, the pastor down there been helping me with my soul, and I've been unfaithful with my tithes and offerings, but the pastor been faithful. And I don't never help him. He don't need no money anyway. But then what God told you. God told you to pay them tithes and offerings. But you're a thief, and you wonder why you ain't got no peace. The Bible said there is no peace for the wicked. Amen. God told me to do something. And I did it for a while, and then when I got blessed, I forgot about it, y'all. And it was amazing. This brother called me up. He said, how you doing, brother? I was like, praise God, I'm doing good. He said, the Lord laid you on my heart. I'm like, it was convicting too, y'all. But the Lord told me to do something, and I didn't do it. It's amazing. We all know what God tells us to do. We don't do it, right, Miguel? We're like, Lord, can I just get away with it this week? Just give me a vacation from the Spirit. Can I get a witness in the house? Just give me 1 week vacation. How many people ever ask God for 1 week vacation from the Holy Ghost? Now, you know I ain't telling no lie. I know maybe not you, but I know a lot of people done done it before. They went on vacation, didn't take the Holy Ghost with them. Jesus! They go in their bedroom, don't take the Holy Ghost with them. They go in the, Jesus. They go in the bath, they get on the phone and talk to folk, and the Holy Ghost ain't with them. They say, Holy Ghost, you just be right over there, and I just got to talk to someone. I don't want to let them know a piece of my mind. Holy Ghost, I'll be right back. We talk to the Holy Ghost like he our buddy. When the Holy Ghost is God controlling us. The Holy Ghost, when you came down to accept Jesus as your Savior, you came down to say, possess me, fill me, take over, take control of my life. You didn't say, Holy Ghost, just give me 30%, the other 70%, I'm going to Bible college. And then the 70% of the Bible college, I only practice what the Bible college tell me to practice. You know, you can go to some churches, they don't read the whole Bible. And you can always tell when the preaching is good. Folk just quiet, putting their face all down. And come on! Joy is here! Shoot, ain't that bad, just repent! I remember this one preacher used to say, just admit it and quit it. Just admit it and quit it. Amen, everybody say that. Admit it and quit it. Amen. James chapter 3, verse 13. Boy, this stuff's getting good, huh? Who is wise and endured with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom and self-control. That's what meekness and wisdom is. Meekness and wisdom is self-control. You see how they were beating Jesus before they nailed him to the cross? And he still didn't say nothing. Huh? So being meek, it's humbling you. Many times I wanted to sue people because they stole from me. The Lord said, no, I'm going to whoop them. Don't touch them. Don't sue them. It's hard not to sue people that rip you off. Hello? It's probably going to be your own family. That's right. Somebody in my own family did something to me, copied something. And he told me 2 years later. And then I just stood in his house and I looked at him. And with tears running down my eyes, I couldn't believe it. But you know, the people that's going to hurt you is the people that's closest to you. That's the only people that can get to you. That's the only people you're going to let inside your heart. And that's the ones Jesus wants you to understand. That's how we get in his heart. You see, we get inside of Jesus' heart and do some things, and it hurts God too. Amen. And sometimes God has to just sit there with his mouth closed and say, now, why'd you do that? You know better. But sometimes we do something because we're dealing with survival. Sometimes David said in the Bible, don't give me too little, God, that I will steal. And don't give me too much that I'll go away from you. Amen. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So we know that people are preparing their intellect for earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every other evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now here goes the people on the day of Pentecost, and God begins to show me in prayer. He begins to show me, he said, now here goes 120 people. Now, there wasn't no modern bathrooms, wasn't no modern showers. They didn't have no moderate toothbrushes. So you know there was supposed to be some stinking folks up in there. Amen. But they had one purpose. That was getting on one accord. So they forgot about their indifferences. They forgot about people passing gas. Amen. They forgot, you know, people had gas because they weren't eating that much. You ever know the first is fast and breath be stinking? But they had one purpose. And that was seeking God. So they forgot about the smell. They forgot about. I just want y'all to understand what I'm talking about tonight. Jesus. Lord, can I get a witness up in the house? Lord Jesus. God was dealing with them about what they thought. And God had to change their thoughts. God was dealing with them about how they thought about one another. And God was saying, I want you to love this person, though they stink. Amen. That's why he said, if a rich guy come in here with a nice suit on, amen, and a poor guy come in that's smelling like urine, can I get a witness? Which one you going to hug tonight? Which one you going to shake hands with tonight? Is it going to be the one that smell like Pierre Cardin? Or is it going to be the one that ain't took a bath in 3 weeks? You see, if you can touch that guy and put your arms around him and say, I love you, and we're going to help you, that's the one that Jesus wants. Because the Bible said it ain't though. Jesus didn't come the one for the outside. He came the ones for the inside. He didn't came for the ones that was sick on the outside. He came for the ones that were sick on the inside. God came to make you well and whole on the inside. See, that's why people go to church, but they never are well. God is trying to heal the inside. Say that with me. God's trying to heal the inside. Go with me to Jude chapter 19. Jude is the last book before Revelations. Verse 17, Jude 1:17. But beloved, remember ye that words which were spoken before about the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, who that in the told you and there should be mockers in the last time, who walk after their own ungodly lusts. There these be who separate themselves central, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now there are going to be churches in this last days that are going to be central, having not the Spirit. They're going to be reading the Bible, but not having the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man is going to see God. That, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that they're not going to see him in heaven, because they ain't even talk to God on heaven, because he said, oh, tell him, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. So what is he saying? They will never see a move of God down here. We're supposed to see a move of God here on earth. Amen? We're supposed to get ourselves in such a align with God, where we're totally in self-control with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has anchored us in his fruits of his Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Sometimes you got to have long-suffering with people. How many people had to have some long suffering before? No, you know you like them, excuse me, but you had to mix some long suffering with them. Jesus, have mercy. I can think of a couple people right now, but the blood of Jesus. Long suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and temperance. And the Bible said against that, there's no law. There's no law. So here God is trying to justify the laws that have condemned us. He's saying if we walk in the fruits of the Spirit, there'll be nothing that can condemn us. There'll be nothing that can come against us. And so why is God saying this to us? Because he wants us to clean up our hearts so we can please him, so that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper, because it won't stick to us.